Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, doing the AFC preview. Basically, storylines to watch here over the next 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, and a little bit longer, I guess, but short, intermediate range. I think with the Baltimore Ravens, just work alphabetically here through the AFC, as I did with the NFC show. I think the big story here is for Baltimore, are they in the wide receiver business on day one? They do that Orlando Brown trade, and they come up and get another late day one pick. And is that in the range of Bateman, Kadarius Toney, in that type of range, Elijah Moore? That's something I'm definitely watching for. No other big stories there in terms of the position. I think everything else is pretty locked in terms of their skill positions, maybe a backup tight end, something like that, day three. But outside of that, looking for wide receiver there. And then we're looking for a Lamar Jackson extension. For the Bills, they've been linked to Travis Etienne. I think maybe on day two, Javonte Williams has fit the mold of some of the metrics that they've looked at and the guys that they've been interested in. Devin Singletary, Zach Moss, both break tackles at a high rate coming into the NFL. So that'd be something to watch for. You know, could they be in the receiver business too? That wouldn't shock either. Maybe that's more day two type role. I get some development there. I would probably be a minor upset. Would be maybe a major upset even. One thing that I'm watching for definitely is the tight end position. I think that they could try and address the position, whether that's via trade, maybe a David Joku, maybe that's Zach Ertz, maybe that is an Evan Ingram type. So that'd be something I'm definitely watching here over the next week or so. Cincinnati Bengals, how do they support their franchise quarterback? Is that Ja'Marr Chase? Is that Kyle Pitts? Is that an offensive tackle? I think that's the key watch there. The other thing I'm watching for, you know, what impact that has down the line in terms of tight ends. Drew Sample, CJ Uzama, two guys that have been in the AOD ecosphere for some time now. What is a Kyle Pitts selection do to that? Well, it probably takes CJ Uzama to zero and Drew Sample to something slightly more than zero, but not great. Otherwise, you know, I'm not sure there's a huge threat, especially if they're not going to go on round two. Like, there might not necessarily be a threat, and you could get another year of development out of Sample. I think really the other key watch here is going to be your backup running back situation. You have Samaje Perine, you have Trayvon Williams. Is that a day two or a day three running back added into this mix? And sort of how does that look over the long term? Definitely something they're going to be watching. Because even in an offense that might not necessarily seem like the greatest, we saw what Gio could do down the stretch last year. Is that a situation where Trayvon Williams is in play? I mean, that's something that's something I think it's possible. Big numbers here for Joe Mixon over the next 3 years, basically. Now he's on his contract extension. He's due over almost 11 and a half next year, 12.9 the year after that, 13. And that would be 2024. That is his 28-year-old season. It first becomes viable to cut him after the season. Not saying that's a likely outcome, but it's a possible one. It's much more likely after 2022. So we'll see there on that. I think he's locked in. We'll see what the upside is and what ultimately that presents is probably a bigger question in terms of all that. But definitely the one injury away guy there will be interesting. Cleveland Browns, you know, is Odell Beckham Jr. here for the long haul? Jarvis Landry here for the long haul? Both big cap numbers. This isn't really a run first team. This is a run first team, not a pass first team. So you do have a lot of assets being spent in maybe a suboptimal passing situation. The other things I think I'm really looking for here, what's Baker's contract extension look like? Is he going to be a supermax situation? Seems unlikely. How does that all fit in? If I'm Cleveland, I make him play it out another year. And we'll, let's see how you play in year four, and we've got you for a fifth-year extension. There's no need to rush it. And same thing with Buffalo with Josh Allen. Like, that Supermax contract should be coming down the pike at some point. But, you know, let's prove it for another year. And then that gives us a better idea of where we're at. So that's the stuff I'm looking for there. Maybe David Joku on the trade market, potentially. That's another thing I'm looking for that might open up Harrison Bryant, Austin Hooper to some more snaps. Okay, turning to the Denver Broncos, I think it begins and ends with the quarterback position in the draft. They're in the back half of the top 10. Is this a team that can go up and make a move for a quarterback? Is this a team that can sit there and take a quarterback? This has the makings of a team that can be very competitive, and not necessarily this year can turn it into being a an AFC championship contender. It's probably not in the range of outcomes with a young quarterback, but you could see over the next couple of years here how that could change. You know, that AFC West, if you're serious about it, you need an elite quarterback, and you've got Mahomes, you've got Herbert, and heck, you've got Derek Carr, and it's pretty clear Denver has the worst situation. They don't have the answer. They need to be staring dead red at a quarterback. The other real situation, you know, let's see what the situation with Cortland Sutton's health is. That's one. What's his contract situation look like? He's be a free agent at the end of this year. Is this a Galladay situation where they could let him walk, test free agency, and see what happens? That's telling. Is this a situation where they don't have a fifth-year option because he was a round-two guy? Is this a situation where he's a tag candidate? Are they going to extend him? You know, all that stuff's, I think, interesting stuff to watch for. How does that impact a guy like KJ Hamler over the next couple of years here? And could he potentially be the number two wide receiver in a Jerry Jeudy at the one? You get Locke and you got a good quarterback. That's all of a sudden really, really interesting. You know, if they don't address quarterback here, is this a situation down the line where this is like an Aaron Rodgers landing spot? You know, we've seen them want to do that type of thing. I don't know. I just, as I sort of look at all these depth charts, I just think about 12 months from now, how the quarterback situation could change. Houston Texans, Brandon Cooks at the wide receiver position is going to be one of those 115 target guys. It's going to be interesting. We'll see what happens with Deshaun Watson. With all the injury, with all the suspension risk and all that, is he still a trade candidate? All it's just complicated. What's the backup running back situation look like? They have Mark Ingram, have Philip Lindsay, David Johnson's their starter. You know, is this just a 1 year window? If it is, like, he's pretty interesting where he's going. You know, double digit rounds getting a starting running back. We've seen his ability to play. If it's Tyrod Taylor, are we, you know, less excited about that because he has a lesser success throwing to running backs than some other quarterbacks have? Heck, Deshaun Watson had that problem too. So we saw when David Johnson can stay on the field, like, running back two production, absolutely well within the range of outcome. It can even be high-end running back two. And, you know, people are going to rag on this team. They do have some pieces that I think are fantasy valuable. Brandon Cooks in particular with David Johnson. And give me the grungy, dirty backup running back there because that could be an interesting spot. Indianapolis Colts, big question is going to be Carson Wentz over the next, 12 to 24 months. How does he develop? They traded that pick for him. Basically conditional, like, first, second round pick, depending on sort of his play, how they do in the playoffs, all that stuff. T.Y. Hilton back for a 1 year deal. That seems more like a bridge type option. You know, is Pittman the answer? Is Paris Campbell the answer? Is this a team that basically doubles up again at the wide receiver position, takes a day two guy? Keep kind of backfilling that. Keep throwing day two assets at it. Is this a team that steps up later on, one, take someone? I don't know. I'm interested in all that. The backup running back situation is one to watch for. I think people are overblowing the Marlon Mack coming back and being a threat to Jonathan Taylor. It might be tougher for him to make the roster than I don't think that's a guarantee than him being taken, you know, 30% cut out of Jonathan Taylor's workload. He's got to make the roster first. Jordan Wilkins there as well. He's one of my deeper stashes I'm just going to continue to hold because I think that in a right world, like he could be, if things break really right, he could be definitely useful down the stretch here. Jacksonville Jaguars going to take Trevor Lawrence 101 in the NFL draft. Where does Gardner Minshew fit on this team? This seems like a bad situation for Gardner Minshew. And the, like, can you really bring in the quarterback one, the 101 in the NFL draft, and put him day one ahead of the guy who's like a cult hero? Right? Is that fair to anybody? You know, I don't know what type of trade value that Gardner Minshew would garner. But it'd be interesting to see him in a situation that had some more established assets. You know, if Denver didn't go the route of a rookie, is this a situation where he could go in there and potentially, compete with Drew Lock, potentially start for Drew Lock. And then you sort of look and say, hey, like all of a sudden he has some legit weapons in that offense. Where does that put him? Be interested to sort of see what the NFL's reaction to him, his market is. I mean, he has 20 starts in his career. He's a basically league average touchdown rate guy. That's fine. 6.9 yards per attempt. So I look at that, you're like, that's, again, is some of that assets, is some of that, you're that's a rookie development. And you're sort of saying, hey, like that's a checkmark threshold performance in which you can really stick around. So when you look at his EPA, expected points added per play, it's the same as Drew Lock's. It's ahead of critical veterans like Cam Newton, for example, Andy Dalton, Tua, Carson Wentz. So he has, in the past two seasons, he ranks 27th in terms of EPA. And composite, that is, you know, the expected points added plus the completion percentage over expectation. And then when you sort of look at just his EPA per play, he ranks 28th out of 41 qualifiers. So, again, threshold, like sort of can play. Is he more of like a Ryan Fitzpatrick type backup? Or is he, does he have a potential upside above that over the next, two, three, 4 years where he could, potentially be like a poor man starter and almost like the Andy Dalton role, the Andy Dalton sort of sphere of the position. Is that something that he could potentially hold down? It's going to be tough. He kind of has to do it or he sort of falls into that Ryan Fitzpatrick type of role where he kind of bounces around and is never the lead option for a team. So that's definitely, I think he could potentially be on the trade market. And if I was the Jaguars, I would be looking to move on from him because you don't want to create even if he's the greatest teammate in the world, you're still going to create a headache for your number one overall pick. So yeah, that's really the situation. Again, what type of risk is James Robinson at? What's Rykel Armstead's health? Has Carlos Hyde the first addition to the backfield or the last one? All those are questions. You know, could this team be in the market for a wide receiver? I absolutely think so. They have multiple picks. Everyone late in the first round, they have multiple in the second as well. In terms of they're stockpiling some assets to try and help them develop this quarterback. They pick basically four times in the top 45 picks. I mean, that's a lot of bullets they could potentially fire. So as I'm sitting here, I don't feel good about many of their assets. I think the least likely position that they address is running back. They hit on James Robinson. There's no real need to go up and try and one up yourself on that and spend more assets, but maybe there's a situation where running back's best player available. I don't know. I think you could definitely see that happen early on day two, where you're basically sitting there first pick of the second round, and all of a sudden Najee Harris or someone like that falls, and you know things could break real weird. So be careful with James Robinson if you have him. Like, now's a good time to potentially cash out if you can for, you know, get a top 10 rookie pick price, something like that. Can you turn James Robinson into Clyde Edwards-Helaire, something like that? That'd be really, really interesting in terms of, even if you had to add to it, that's definitely more insulation. Los Angeles Chargers, I think that they could potentially be in the market for a wide receiver. Would be something that I would potentially be on the lookout for. They sort of pick in that range where you could see Jalen Waddle, Devonta Smith options potentially be there, you know, to go. Mike Williams has been largely disappointing to this point. I think this, like the Burrow pick, like the Cincinnati pick, needs to be built around your franchise quarterback. Is that an asset? Is that an offensive lineman? I think all of those things are certainly in play. You know, they certainly could go defense as well. But when you sort of look at it all, like, kind of continuing to build around that rookie quarterback is definitely the thing that you need. Their most commonly mocked position, basically, since December, has been offensive tackle. I have seen them pop up a little bit more in the in potentially the weapons, what I would consider like a weapons category of late. You know, hasn't done a huge move up the board in terms of like their likelihood or anything like that. All their most commonly picked players are basically off. Their three most commonly picked players are offensive line. Pitts is the fourth. And then defense there is fifth. Wide receiver is the fifth most likely outcome. So, you know, let's see what we can get. Maybe a late breakout out of Mike Williams, something like that. I think the backup running back situation is interesting. Justin Jackson plays at a sufficient level. He's actually a pretty good receiving running back as well. You know, what's Joshua Kelly offer? Is this a team that could potentially on, you know, later day two, something like that, address the position and add assets to the, you know, we keep talking about adding assets to a rookie quarterback. It's that 78th pick, that 98th pick, something like that, that they have. Are those potential threats to maybe not necessarily Eckler's starting job, but a, you know, more of a 50-50 type role than it is, you know, 70-30, something like that. So that'd be something I'm on the lookout here going forward. All right, turning next to the Las Vegas Raiders. Who knows sort of what Gruden is thinking at any given moment? You know, I heard speculated today, like, hey, if one of these quarterbacks falls, could that be a situation where they just take him? You know, Justin Fields was the person that was speculated in that. That would be something that'd be really interesting. I doubt skill position is where they go. You know, they've got Jacobs, they've got Drake, they've already addressed the running back position. They've got a tight end. Is, you know, wide receiver maybe a day two concern? That's something that I think is possible. Is Ruggs a legit wide receiver one? Yeah, they moved on from Nelson Aguilar in the offseason. They've got Bryan Edwards. They've got Hunter Renfro. John Brown's there. You know, Zay Jones is there. I think John Brown's a really interesting you know, bridge guy here over the next 6 to 12, 18 months, something like that. Like, you could see a couple year window out of him where he's not going to say the unquestioned wide receiver one, but looks a lot more like a wide receiver one than anything that they have in terms of you just on paper. If he's healthy, he's going to be the best wide receiver, I think, in that in that offense. And does that sort of put Ruggs in a more natural wide receiver two type situation? Again, John Brown doesn't really fit the mold in terms of how wide receiver ones look, but he certainly does in terms of how they play. The other thing I'm really looking at is, you know, what's the split between Kenyon Drake and Josh Jacobs? If Kenyon Drake's going to be more of the ancillary role, there's not really a true threat to Josh Jacobs on the ground. Jalen Richard, Theo Riddick on the depth chart there. So that'd be something to watch for. Miami Dolphins figure to be dead red on a weapon to help Tua. Is that offensive tackle? is that wide receiver, is that tight end. Right? They're going to have basically one of those options in the first round of the NFL draft. Miles Gaskin, is he potentially one of these guys that's going to get sniped in rookie drafts or in the NFL draft by a Travis Etienne, Javonte Williams, Najee Harris? They seem to be one of the teams that would have, you know, those multiple assets. And when you sort of look at this, you don't love taking a running back in the first round, for example, at 18. But heck, 36 could be a really interesting landing spot there. Again, that's a trade from Miami that they have that pick. So could basically they have five picks out of the first 82. Could two of those be offensive skill position players? I think that's very, very possible. New England Patriots, what's the long-term prognosis on N'Keal Harry? Yeah, he hasn't done it yet. It's been pretty disappointing thus far. Is he a player you can cash out on third to second, something like that? I would do it. They brought in Nelson Aguilar, brought in Kendrick Bourne. Still don't have a legit wide receiver one, but are going the multiple tight end route. And we've seen them have success with that in the past. So that's an interesting thing. What's the workload breakdown between Sony Michel and Damian Harris? Definitely watching that. What's the usage of Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith? That'd be really interesting to see those two guys, and James White, old faithful, old reliables there. I think they could be in the quarterback position, the quarterback sweepstakes too. Are they a potential landing spot for Jimmy G, for example? I think that's possible if they don't like someone that they have in the NFL draft. All right, the New York Jets, looks like they're going to take Zach Wilson with the first pick. Just backup guys here, James Morgan, Mike White are the backup quarterbacks there of note. So nothing real urgent standing out there. I think Corey Davis, in terms of like top 12 guaranteed money at the position, that's really, really interesting. It's probably an overpay, but that says something about their commitment to him. I think he could absolutely be a wide receiver one. And all of a sudden, like if he kind of hits and can, 120, 130, 140 targets, that's really interesting. You put Mims on the other side, Crowder in the slot. Can you add something here? They are another team that has multiple picks in the first round. Is two a quarterback, 23 a wide receiver? Is 34 a weapon? 66 a weapon? You basically have, again, five picks in the top 87 for them. So lots of options there to potentially add to this. If Denzel Mims you can sort of get what you paid for Denzel Mims right now. I don't hate the idea. You're going to have a rookie quarterback that you're playing with as well. Not particularly high end. In the deeper stash category of the position, Tevin Coleman is interesting, reuniting with offensive staff from San Francisco. Pittsburgh Steelers, Juju Smith-Schuster back on a one-year deal. How does he fit in? Basically wide receiver two type production. The lack of true market interest in terms of like multi-year long-term deal, like that's, I think, something we need to be a little cautious about. And his profile is risky. So can you sort of use him to package up? I was thinking him and Mixon in a deal to try and get Swift. That's an interesting construct that I'm trying to put together in a league. So, that's one thing that I think is, could be higher upside, for example, and you're getting out of that, some of that risk with Juju Smith-Schuster. Deonta Johnson, Chase Claypool, do they take a further step forward? What's the health of Roethlisberger? Can he be the guy that plays better than he did last year and can have sort of a good culmination of his career? Or is it going to be he kind of looks like a shell of himself? Those are all things that I think we'll have a lot of questions about. Eric Ebron back as well. Is the tight end position something they could address? I mean, maybe, but I'm not sure, again, how someone is necessarily a risk to him. What's the breakout of the running back position? I think it's probably Benny Snell, Anthony McFarlane in that order right now. Can they add someone on, you know, in the first round that's been a commonly mocked spot? Is day two a spot for a guy like Javonte Williams, maybe Trey Sermon, Ramondre Moore Stevenson, something like that? It'd be really interesting. You know, they haven't shown, I think the last time they took a day one running back was Rashard Mendenhall. And that's, you know, going back on almost 15 years ago. So that's not something that they've done to adjust on day two that they have done. So, you know, we'll see there with that. Taking a running back on day one is always suboptimal, but that is a situation that we can watch for here. And again, who's the one injury away guy? Because even if there is a rookie there, Benny Snell is interesting from a one injury away perspective. And then they have some shakeup on the offensive line as well. They need to address that position, probably more so than they need to address running back. So they're an interesting watch because I think they could go a lot of different ways. They could be a trade-up candidate for a quarterback as well. You know, if one starts to slide, if Fields starts to slide, could they be a team that jumps up and sort of stops that slide? Tennessee Titans are desperate for weapons. If you don't believe that Anthony Firkser can be the dude, I think Anthony Firkser can actually be the dude. So he'd be my, like, outside the top 25 of the position, like, he'd be a smash target for me. So that's really my thoughts on Firkser. Do they address the position? Maybe. Has anyone come in and take his job? Like, he was really, really efficient last year. So if you give him more targets, like, let's see, you know, let's see that happen. I'd be really interested in that. I think there's a wide open opportunity. Let me just read to you some of the names at the receiver position outside of A.J. Brown. Nick Westbrook, Ikhine, so Josh Reynolds, who they brought in, who's interesting. Rashard Davis, Cameron Batson, Mason Kinsey, Chester Rogers, Cody Hollister, Marcus Johnson. So they're basically taking the scrap heap from Indianapolis and putting it outside with Marcus Johnson and Chester Rogers at this point. Rashad Bateman's a guy I would find really interesting landing there. I think he'd fit a lot of what they do, so be on the watch for that. You know, what's the backup running back situation look like? Is it Darrington Evans? Is it Jeremy McNichols, for example? Like, what's sort of that situation look like in the event Derrick Henry's injured? It's going to definitely be a watch there. So I think all the skill positions have some uncertainty with them. You know, not Derrick Henry, obviously, and not Ryan Tannehill, but sort of the ancillary wide receiver, the tight end, and the backup running back are all situations to watch for. So that's it for the AFC. So we did a whole rundown NFC yesterday, AFC today, and in a lead up to the draft. So enjoy the draft, and you know, I'm gonna drop another podcast here just talking about draft plans for the NFL draft. So be on the lookout for that. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. Enjoy the NFL draft. We'll talk again soon.